This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society and News for Young People. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Leo XIV has confirmed an opinion of the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints that paves the way for Saint John Henry Newman to be formally declared a Doctor of the Church. A statement from the Holy See press office said during an audience granted to Cardinal Marcello Semeraro on Thursday, Pope Leo confirmed the affirmative opinion of the plenary session of cardinals and bishops, members of the Dicastery, regarding the title of Doctor of the Universal Church, which will soon be conferred on St. John Henry Newman. The English cardinal, who was canonized in 2019 by Pope Francis, is one of the great modern thinkers of Christianity. The title of Doctor of the Church is reserved for people whose writings have greatly served the Universal Church. There are currently 37 Doctors of the Church, including St. Augustine of Hippo, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Francis de Sales, and St. Teresa of Avila. Pope Leo has released his prayer intention for the month of August, inviting us to pray for mutual coexistence. Here is a soundbite of the Pope video accompanying the prayer intention, with the Holy Father himself presenting the intention and reciting the suggested prayer.
Let us pray that societies where coexistence seems more difficult might not succumb to the temptation of confrontation for ethnic, political, religious, or ideological reasons. Jesus, Lord of our history, faithful companion and living presence, you who never tire of coming to meet us, here we are in need of your peace. We live in times of fear and division. Sometimes we act as if we were alone, building walls that separate us from one another, forgetting that we are brothers and sisters. Send us your Spirit, Lord, to rekindle within us the desire to understand one another. To listen. To live together with respect and compassion. Give us the courage to seek paths of dialogue, to respond to conflict with gestures of fraternity, to open our hearts to others without fear of differences. Make us builders of bridges, able to overcome borders and ideologies, able to see others through the eyes of the heart, recognizing in every person an inviolable dignity. Help us create spaces where hope can flourish, where diversity is not a threat, but a richness that makes us more human. Amen.
The permanent observer of the Holy See to the United Nations in New York has told a UN conference that a two-state solution is the only viable path for Israel and Palestine. Addressing a three-day conference of member states on how to establish peace between Israel and Palestine, Archbishop Gabriele Caccia said that lasting peace can be found only in the two-state solution. The Holy See officially recognized the state of Palestine in 2015. Canada will recognize a Palestinian state in September, Prime Minister Mark Carney announced on Wednesday, the latest in a series of symbolic announcements that are part of a broader global shift against Israel's policies in Gaza. France and Britain also made similar announcements in recent days. Kelsey Gossie has more on Archbishop Caccia's address at the UN.
In his message to the UN High-Level International Conference, Archbishop Kacha stressed that in the light of the profound anguish and terrible human suffering that has befallen the region of the Middle East, the Holy See unequivocally condemned the terrorist attack of October 7, 2023 by Hamas. He continued that terrorism can never be justified. The Archbishop also emphasized that self-defense must be contained within the traditional limits of necessity and proportionality. The Holy See remains very concerned about the deteriorating humanitarian crisis taking place in the Gaza Strip. He highlighted the atrocities that continue to wound an already distressed community, scores of children killed, and homes, hospitals, and places of worship destroyed. The Holy See has urgently called for an immediate ceasefire, the release of all Israeli hostages, the restitution of the bodies of the deceased, the protection of all Palestinian civilians in accordance with international humanitarian law, and unhindered access to humanitarian assistance. Archbishop Kacha expressed the Holy See's firm belief that the two-state solution, based on secure and internationally recognized borders, is the only viable and equitable path towards a just and lasting peace. The Holy See remains committed to the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people, and it backs their legitimate aspirations to live in freedom, security, and dignity within an independent and sovereign state. Jerusalem is a city sacred to Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And in his message, Archbishop Kacha continued to stress that it needs a status that rises above political divisions and preserves this unique identity. To this end, the Archbishop pointed out that the Holy See reaffirmed its long-standing call for a special status recognized internationally, which protects the rights and dignity of all residents and believers of the three religions, that it safeguards the city's exceptional religious and cultural heritage, and that it must also protect the holy places and allow unrestricted access to them and the ability to worship there. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
The 20th Plenary Assembly of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, known by the acronym SECAM, entered its second day on Thursday. More than 250 representatives, including cardinals, bishops, priests, consecrated men and women, and lay leaders from across Africa and its islands, are meeting in Kigali, Rwanda, from the 30th of July to the 4th of August on the theme, Christ, Source of Hope, Reconciliation and Peace. Christopher Wells tells us more.
During the plenary assembly, participants will evaluate the progress made since the previous assembly, which took place in 2022 in Accra, Ghana. Among the agenda items for the 2025 assembly is the presentation of SECAM's long-term vision document for 2025 through 2050, which is built around 12 foundational pillars, including evangelization, family leadership, youth engagement, care for creation, digital mission, and political responsibility. The assembly will also include a pastoral reflection on accompanying Catholics in complex cultural realities, as well as discussions on governance, justice, peace, interfaith dialogue, climate change, and safeguarding. A highlight of the 20th Plenary Assembly will be the unveiling of the Triennial Strategic Plan for the next 3 years and the initiation of the renewal of SECAM leadership in accordance with the group's constitutions. I'm Christopher Wells.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Reports from West and Central Africa regions say thousands of children have contracted cholera. The disease is caused by a bacterium and is being spread by heavy rains, flooding, and widespread displacement of people in places affected by conflict. The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, has confirmed the saturation of the disease in the two regions, citing Nigeria and the Democratic Republic of Congo as the two countries affected most. Countries in the two regions have launched awareness campaigns and are delivering life-saving healthy water and sanitation supplies in the most affected areas. The African Union Peace and Security Council has called upon member states and the international community not to recognize a parallel government announced on Tuesday in Sudan by rebels of the Rapid Support Forces.
The rebels said their administration would be known as Peace and Unity Government and said they had formed a 15-member presidential council headed by rebel leader Muhammad Hamdan Dagalo. The African Union Council said in a statement that the unity, integrity, and sovereignty of Sudan must be protected and invited Sudan's regional and international partners to support the peace process and the democratic transition through dialogue. Reports from Zambia say the government has requested the International Monetary Fund to extend the period it is required to finish paying its debt by 12 more months. The country failed to pay its loan installments in 2020, and in 2022 an agreement was reached whereby it would start paying immediately and finish by the end of October this year. The original debt had the value of $1.3 billion, but because Zambia did not honor its obligations, the value was raised to $1.7 billion. The government says it has already paid a total of $1.55 billion, but would not be able to find the remainder in the coming 3 months. The government of Kenya has introduced a new law banning young people below the age of 21 years to drink alcohol. The same law bans alcohol advertising, sponsorship, and marketing targeting individuals under the age of 21 years. Celebrities, influencers, and sports figures are prohibited from endorsing alcohol products and alcohol branding of sports teams and events. Supermarkets, restaurants, and specialized alcohol shops are also banned from selling alcohol to young people. The government said the measure is intended to protect children, youth, and the public from harmful and misleading alcohol promotion. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Culture and Society, and welcome to the program. My name is Kanyenta Godfrey Kampamba. The youths of the world have converged in Rome to celebrate the Jubilee of Youth. The week-long event provides a moment for young people to gather with Pope Leo XIV. It also provides an opportunity to pray, worship, and celebrate the Catholic faith alongside people from around the world. Organized by the Dicastery for Evangelization, the 28th July to 3rd August event began with a powerful opening mass in St. Peter's Square, presided over by the main architect of the Jubilee Year of Hope, Archbishop Reno Fiskela, who welcomed the crowd on behalf of Pope Leo XIV. In his remarks, Archbishop Fiskela encouraged the youth to remain vigilant for Christ's presence in their lives, acknowledging the sacrifices that many have made in order to attend and share their excitement and hope for a world in crisis. The opening mass concluded with a surprise appearance by Pope Leo XIV in St. Peter's Square, where the mass had just taken place. In a brief off-the-cuff greeting and blessing from the altar, the Pope reminded the young pilgrims that they were beacons of light, hope and peace that the world needs most today. He told them that the world needs messages of hope, and in a mix of Spanish, English and Italian, the Pope added the fact that they, the youths, were this message and therefore must give hope to everyone. He emphasized the fact that the youths are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Among the faith groups present at the Jubilee of Youth is Mary's Meals International. This Catholic charity sets up school feeding programs and provides life-changing school meals to children living in some of the world's poorest communities where hunger and poverty prevent them from advancing in education. Mary's Meals relies heavily on youth volunteers and ambassadors in order to raise awareness and funds for their mission to feed impoverished children. These young people aged 16 and 25 engage in various activities like fundraising, awareness campaigns, and community outreach to support the efforts of the organization to deliver life-supporting food and dignity to those who need it most and in this way bring hope to the hopeless children. The international media manager for Mary's Meals is Paloma Garcia Obiero. Speaking to Vatican Radio on the occasion of the Jubilee of Youth, Obiero describes how the Jubilee is a dream come true for the charity, for whom hope is part of its identity.
In Mary's Meals, our belief is that school plus food equals hope. We feed children in different parts of the world, and we are delivering hope in the form of school meals, because we do know that is the present and that is the future of these communities. And Mary's Meals is a simple solution to world hunger, but it's today's hope, not only for those who receive the school meals, but also for all these people and young people who can tackle the hunger, because it costs just 22 euros per year to feed a child the whole school year. It means that everyone can tackle the world hunger. Every single young boy, young girl, volunteers, teachers, people praying, people giving money, but also giving time or illusion. So we know that hope continues on in those young people who received school meals and are now young adults working and supporting their families. But hope is also part of our identity. Hope is also part of our identity as young people, Christian people, good people, good-willing people trying to help poorest people in the world.
It's a very horrific situation currently in the world, you know, with the consequences of climate change, the consequences of our man-made disasters, warfare. You know, we're seeing mass displacement, we're seeing famine, and Mary's Meals is present and active in all of those places where some might say hope is quite a difficult thing to grasp onto. And so how important is it that we keep on reminding young people that there is always hope?
There is always hope. Hope does not disappoint. And we may be pilgrims of hope, but we may be also actors of hope. It is wonderful to see how these young people, while playing their part for Mary's Meals, as youth ambassadors, as spokespeople, as volunteers, they will have also an opportunity to experience hope when they see that their efforts, their prayers, their money, their work feed children. Because we are able to feed almost 3 million children every single day, every school day. But there are 67 million children in the world who are not able to go to school, who are not able to eat once a day. So there are many things to do, but every single act counts. And we, Mary's Meals, we call them little acts of love. And they always work.
And how important is it that these reminders of hope and these acts of love and this closeness to the young people actually comes from other young people? You mentioned your youth ambassadors.
Mary's Meals is all about volunteers and grassroots. We are a low-cost charity. We feed almost 3 million children every school day, but it's only because of the million people who are praying for us, working for us, and many of them are young people doing small things in small places, and that's how we change the world, and that's how young people can change the world, because Mary's Meals is a simple solution to world hunger. We only do one thing, but we do it very well, which is school meals. And it means every one of us can change somebody else's life, because it costs just 22 euros per year, $25 per year, to feed one child every single day at the school. So everyone, including teenagers, including young people, students, they also can change the world. They can feed children, and we know how to do that. And of course, we're more than happy to welcome new volunteers, new youth ambassadors, and people willing to help people. So this is the solution. School plus food equal hope. And we can all do that. And Mary's Meals is the simple solution that works.
Can you share some examples of the initiatives and the work that the young people they've done perhaps to raise money and to be a part of Mary's Meals? How is it embedded in their lives, and how are they encouraging other young people to participate and to help?
We call them youth ambassadors, and they are real messengers because they show other young people how to help children, hungry children, through their skills, through their hobbies, organizing football matches, organizing painting exhibitions, food contests, anything that comes to your mind is done for raising money or raising awareness to help Mary's Meals. Also, we have some real heroes who have been traveling, for instance, from Austria to Rome, cycling, or from Italy to Portugal, walking, or doing many music concerts also at the school. There are so many initiatives at different schools where every little student can raise money or can raise awareness. And the result is that so many little people in little places doing little things can make the difference. And that's what we see every year in Mary's Meals, that young people are the best ambassadors.
International Media Manager for Mary's Meals, Paloma Garcia Obiero, talking to Vatican Radio's Francesca Mello on the occasion of the Jubilee of Hope, describing how the Jubilee is a dream come true for the charity for whom hope is part of its identity. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Culture and Society. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyenta Godfrey Kampamba.
Now, news for young people.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. The Jubilee of Youth continues in Rome, where a million young people from some 146 countries have converged for the moment of prayer and celebration that will culminate in Saturday's vigil and Holy Mass the following day. Pope Leo will join the young people during the vigil at Tor Vergata in the southeastern suburb of Rome and will preside at the closing Mass on Sunday morning at the same venue. Thursday, July the 31st, is the second of 2 days dedicated to dialogue with the city, a rich program of cultural, artistic and spiritual activities spread throughout the city of Rome. Friday the 1st of August has been designated as a day of penance. The event will take place at Rome's Circus Maximus or Circo Massimo between 10:30 and 18 hours, offering young people the chance to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. At the opening of the Jubilee of Youth on Tuesday evening, the Holy Father welcomed the young people to Rome, inviting them to pray for peace. "Let us work together with our faith in Jesus Christ," he said. The Pope spoke after the welcoming Mass in St. Peter's Choir, which was presided over by Archbishop Rino Fisichella, Pro-Prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization. Earlier on Tuesday in St. Peter's Basilica, Pope Leo addressed digital missionaries and Catholic influencers at the conclusion of Holy Mass for their Jubilee, presided over by Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle, Pro-Prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization. After thanking the young people for using their digital platforms to spread the faith, he urged them to be agents of communion, capable of breaking down the logic of division and polarization, of individualism and egocentrism. He also challenged them to always look for the suffering flesh of Christ in every person they meet online. Let us listen to some of what he said in English.
There is a second challenge in this mission. Always look for the suffering flesh of Christ in every brother and sister you encounter online. Today we find ourselves in a new culture, deeply characterized and formed by technology. It is up to us, it's up to each one of you, to ensure that this culture remains human. Science and technology influence the way we live in the world, even affecting how we understand ourselves, how we relate to God, how we relate to one another. But nothing that comes from man and his creativity should be used to undermine the dignity of others. Our mission, your mission, is to nurture a culture of Christian humanism and to do so together. This is the beauty of the network for all of us.
Pope Leo XIV addressing digital missionaries and Catholic influencers in St. Peter's Basilica on Tuesday morning at the conclusion of Holy Mass for their Jubilee, presided over by Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle. In his homily during the Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, Cardinal Tagle challenged the Catholic influencers and digital missionaries to let the love of Jesus, not algorithms, falsehoods, or power, be the driving force behind their influence online and in the world. He urged them to reject manipulative tactics and instead allow the love of Jesus to shape their mission in digital space. And that's all for this edition of News for Young People. Until the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.